In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, I caught a portion of a radio piece in which former President Reagan was quoted as saying that during his childhood years in his hometown of Dixon, Illinois, he had great feelings of inferiority because of the poverty of his family and also about his inabilities as an athlete. Self-doubt, inferiority, guilt, and lack of self-esteem are the buzzwords of educational and psychological circles these days. The nation's educational enterprise is in continuous ferment in an effort to overcome these debilitating phenomena so that people can grow up to become productive, confident, and competent contributors to society. These feelings are universal and are part of the legacy of sin that has befallen us, even as our psyches are affected by sin, as also our bodies are affected by sin. Human efforts, generation after generation, to remedy these things, to wipe out their effects on society, are pitiful to behold. Because of sin, we are destined to grapple with these inadequacies generation after generation as long as we live. However, we have the words of the scripture that give a different light to some of these things. Those who are the people of God through faith in Christ have a confidence and an assurance where it counts absolutely. They are persuaded with absolute justification that they are in peace and harmony with Almighty God through the merits of Jesus Christ. It is upon this that John touches when he says, "And by this we shall know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." God certainly knows those who are his. But John says it is by this that we shall know. I would want to speak this morning about reassured hearts. Two words come to us for our attention. The first of them is in that following verse. It is the word condemn. The matter of our hearts condemning us, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. That word is not the usual word for condemn. It is not the word for the condemnation of sin in Romans chapter 8. It is a word different from the word speaking of condemnation by the Jews of Jesus before the high priest in Mark chapter 14, verse 64. Here it is a word related to the word to know, a word that means to note or to take note. If you know something unflattering about another person, you know that he has done something of which he is terribly ashamed, and he knows you know. That is the condemnation of which John speaks. It is to have something on somebody. And it is that word that he employs when he says that our heart condemns us. Our heart, our consciences. And it's a condemnation that does not assuage. By the fact that we are Christians, the devil will see to that. If anything, it grows stronger. Note how Luther so often spoke and wrote about these condemnations of his conscience. It intensifies ever in our lives. We have feelings of doubt about our salvation itself, doubting the forgivability of our sins. And it is this of which John speaks. But what he says of it is that God is greater than our heart and knows all things. I said that the word condemnation was related to the word to know. And here the word to know is plain, and it's sort of a play on words. God knows our hearts, our consciences, and knows all things. He knows his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He knows the redemption that has been wrought for us. He knows our hearts that we cling in faith. He knows all things. And it is that leads John then to the second word, to which I would direct your attention. For he follows by saying, right away after commenting, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Then he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. The fact that God is greater than our heart and knows all things leads to this, that our hearts do not condemn us, that we are at peace with God through faith in Christ Jesus. And that peace is expressed in a very unusual way by the word confidence. Again, a word that has significance to us. What is this confidence? It is boldness. It is openness. It is the feeling of freedom to speak out. We all know people who have no inhibitions but are able to blurt out whatever is on their minds regardless of the company in which they find themselves. In a negative kind of way, that's the confidence of which John speaks. It's the opposite of shyness, timidity, reserve, intimidation. Can you imagine how much of this kind of chutzpah you and I would have in the presence of the President of the United States? We would more than likely be quite circumspect. But that is the confidence and the feeling of freedom to speak out that we have in the presence of God by virtue of our having been cleansed, freed, totally forgiven through the blood and merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such is the access that we have to the throne of grace. The apostle then goes on to say that we are bold to ask and to receive of him because we keep his commandments. And lest there be any doubt, he hastens to add immediately in the following verse, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Assurance, reassurance. That is the root of it all. That is what we have by this marvelous gospel that we have. An assurance that leaps over all of the inferiorities and over all of the lack of self-esteem. These will continue to plague us even as the troubles of our bodies continue to plague us on account of sin, and for that reason we need to be people who love and help and are supportive one of another, especially those of the household of faith. But above all, we have that word of heavenly assurance. Assurance of the forgiveness of sins. Assurance that one is valuable before God and has been redeemed eternally by God. That's what we have to give, to share with our fellow believers and unbelievers alike. The hymnist said it so well when he touched on this kind of boldness and assurance in the hymn stanza, "Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully through these absolved I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.